We have chosen today the verse from the second canto, chapter 3, text 24. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tad Ashma Sadam Hridayam Bhatedam. Tad Ashma Sadam Hridayam Bhatedam. Yad Griyamanaya Harinamadeyaya. Yat Griyamanaya Harinamadeyaya. Na Vikriyetata Yada Vikaro. Na vikriyetata yada vikaro. Netre jalang gatra ruheshu harshaha. Netre jalang gatra ruheshu harsha. Tad Ashma Saram Hridayam Bhatedam. Yad Griyamanar Harinamadeyaye. Navikriyetata Yadavikaro. Netre jalangatra ruheshu harsha. Tad Ashma Saram Hridayam Bhatedam. Yat Griyamana Harinamadeyaye. Navi kriyata taya davikaro. Netre jalam gatra ruhe shuhasha. Yes, please chant. Tadashma saram ridayam batedam. Matsis, please. gadayoe. Thank you. Atma saram hridayam bhatedam. Yamanai harinamadeyai. That Ashmasaram is steel framed. Redayam heart. Bata idam, certainly that. Yat which Griyamanai, in spite of chanting Harinama, the holy name of the Lord. Deyai, by concentration of the mind. Na, does not. Vikriyata, change. Ata, thus. Yada, when. Vikaraha, reaction. Netre, in the eyes. Jalam, tears. Gatra ruheshu, at the pores. Hashaha, eruptions of ecstasy. Translation. Certainly that heart is steel framed. Excuse me, please. Certainly that heart is steel framed, which in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change. When ecstasy takes place, tears fill the eyes and the hairs stand on end. Purport. We should note with profit that in the first three chapters of the second canto, a gradual process of development of devotional service is being presented. In the first chapter, the first step in devotional service for God consciousness by the process of hearing and chanting has been stressed, and a gross conception of the personality of Godhead in his universal form for the beginners is recommended. By such a gross conception of God through the material manifestations of his energy, one is enabled to spiritualize the mind and the senses and gradually concentrate the mind upon Lord Vishnu, the Supreme, who is present as the Supersoul in every heart and everywhere, in every atom of the material universe. So this is the first step where you concentrate your mind on your immediate surroundings and see them as divine. You see the world really no longer as a world of roads and buildings, but as a manifestation of divine energy, as a universal form where the rivers and mountains stop being rivers and mountains, but become veins and bones of the body of the Lord. This is the first step in God realization. The system of Panchupasana, recommending five mental attitudes for the common man, is also enacted for this purpose, namely gradual development. So this is worship of the superior that may be in the form of fire, electricity, the sun, the mass of living entities, Lord Shiva, and at last the impersonal Supersoul, the partial representation of Lord Vishnu. They are all nicely described in the second chapter, but in the third chapter, further development is prescribed after one has actually reached the stage of Vishnu worship or pure devotional service. And the mature stage of Vishnu worship is suggested herein in relation to the change of heart. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at eating prasadam. Oh, sorry. I'm very sorry. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at forming a functioning community. It really doesn't sound... This is, by the way, a rhetorical means to force the audience to concentrate on the text. Let us give it a third try and let us see if you are attentive, because it seems to be an important sentence. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord as subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. So with the progress of devotional service, the reaction of change in the heart is exhibited by gradual detachment from the sense of material enjoyment by a false sense of lording it over the world, and an increase in the attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. Vidibhakti, or regulated devotional service by the limbs of the body, namely the eyes, the ears, the nose, the hands and the legs, as already explained here before, is now stressed herein in relation to the mind, which is the impetus for all activities of the limbs of the body. It is expected by all means that by discharging regulated devotional service, one must manifest the change of heart. If there is no such change, the heart must be considered steel-framed, for it is not melted even when there is chanting of the holy name of the Lord. We must always remember that hearing and chanting are the basic principles of discharging devotional duties, and if they are properly performed, there will follow the reactional ecstasy with signs of tears in the eyes and standing of the hairs on the body. These are natural consequences and are the preliminary symptoms of the bhava stage, which occurs before one reaches the perfectional stage of prema, love of Godhead. If the reaction does not take place, even after continuous hearing and chanting of the holy name of the Lord, it may be considered to be due to offenses only. That is the opinion of the Sandarbha. In the beginning of chanting of the holy name of the Lord, if the devotee has not been very careful about evading the 10 kinds of offenses at the feet of the holy name, certainly the reaction of feelings of separation will not be visible by tears in the eyes and standing of the hair on end. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, before starting this class, I would like to say that for me it is a special subject matter. It describes the transformation, and the subject is a subject so entirely moving for me that at the moment I'm engaged in preparing a seminar on this, the art of transformation, which I intend to give wherever I go. So I want to also greet all my radio listeners this morning, and I wish you a very nice listening experience. It will be a little challenging because my English is not what it should be. So some of you have to play Sherlock Holmes with my words to detect what they intend to mean, what is there in hidden. So, okay, let us start by reading the verse again. Tadashmasaram hridayam vatidam yadgriyamanar harinamadeyai navikriyetata yadavikaro netre jalam gatra ruheshu asha. Translation. Certainly that heart is steel framed, which in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change. Then ecstasy takes place. Tears fill the eyes and the hairs stand on end. A very important sentence from the purpose, which in fact is almost like a key which opens the door to the understanding of this subject matter, is here in the second paragraph. The whole process of spiritual culture, we are in a spiritual culture, the whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being. And then Srila Prabhupada specifies this desired change of heart. He says, in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme as subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. And he says what this means in a more practical application, this change of heart. It means to somehow transform the enjoying spirit which we have in our hearts into a service spirit. Now this transformation of the heart is not an easy matter. It is something which has moved the thinkers of and the philosophers of the humankind since a long, long time. One application in Europe of changing the heart or transforming the heart is found in the fascinating word of the alchemists. The alchemists were very much in demand by the European kings because it was believed that they knew a formula by which they could transform ordinary metal like lead into gold. It is still questionable if they actually did it, but there was a rumor that they knew the formula. And this rumor alone made them the flattered guests on the in the courts of the European kings. The alchemists were often misunderstood. Their purpose was really not the gold rush, translated in European terms. No, their purpose was to find out the principles of transformation, which they then wanted to apply to a much more interesting and fascinating transformation, which is the transformation of character, or as we say, the transformation of the heart. They thought if they could only understand the principles underlying transformation, they could easily then go and apply these principles for the heart transformation. It's very, very interesting that Sanatana Goswami uses this analogy, or let us say, the thing with the alchemists, in a shloka, in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, in much the same way the alchemists were seeing transformation. He says, just like it is possible to change ordinary bell metal into gold, it is possible by the proper initiation and instructions to change an ordinary man into a brahmana. So he uses this changing metal into gold into as an example to change a person's character, an ordinary person into a peaceful, studious, very religious person, a brahmana. Hare Krishna. Our movement is also trying to do this alchemical transformation of the heart. And all of you who are listening to this class are gently encouraged to look into their hearts, to try to find out how successful they are in the transformation of the heart. And further, you are encouraged to listen very attentively, to maybe find out if you can spot some important principles by which the transformation of the heart is possible. But first of all, let us look a little bit into this example to understand what is ahead of us. And as you will see from the example, nothing less is ahead of all of us than a major challenge. Okay, so if I wish to transform ordinary bell metal, as it is found in a pair of cartels, which must be lying somewhere here. Yeah. What would be necessary to change this into gold? Well, as we are informed, you will have to enter the molecular structure of this entity, this bell metal, and somehow change the atoms around. What you would encounter in this attempt is what is called the strong force, which keeps the atoms at their place. See, there's a difference between the floor in which you are sitting and, for instance, the mudanga. And the difference is in the way the atoms and the molecules are positioned. If this molecular structure would crash, and the atoms would rearrange themselves, then the floor would be a mudanga, or for that matter, a microphone stand. It's really only a difference. The physical nature is making a difference in manifestation because of the different types of atomic bonding. It's a fascinating thought. There is, on the atomic level, not much difference between your sacred sitting place and the floor on which you are sitting. It's only a matter in different atoms. This whole manifestation could be understood on an atomic level as just small particles being held at their position by this strong force which makes the different elements and the way the matter appears to our eyes possible. Yes. If I would have to change this into gold, I would really have to go against the strong force. And mind you, I wouldn't just have to change it, I would have to keep the atom in place. It's a very, very intense activity. In theory, to speak more of the example, it's very easy to give this a gold appeal by painting it with some golden color from Pushkar Prabhu's painting studio. But such a karatas, such a cheating pair of karatas, which is not really gold, but it's just gold plated or gold covered, would not survive one West Virginia winter. And I don't think it would survive the high humidity of Florida either for a long time. So translating this example into where it gets interesting, into our lives, it's very easy to make an external change, but it's difficult to change the heart. It's very easy to make a change in vocabulary. Instead of hi or hello, you say Haribol. And instead of being dressed in jeans and an American truck driver cap, you can have a dhoti and a silk sari. It's also not so difficult to learn to apply a tilak. But these are not yet necessarily signs of a change of heart. One has to go much deeper, on a much deeper level to really make the change of heart. And many have failed. The history of our Shastra, or let us say the history of spiritual endeavors, is full of examples of failures. We are reminded here of an example from the Bhagavatam describing the life of Sobari Muni. He was such an accomplished yogi that it was possible for him to live without breathing. At least he didn't breathe through the conventional means. He sat on the bottom of a river because he wanted peace and undisturbedness and to meditate. Now once as he was meditating, we are informed, he saw two fishes associating with the romantic intent. And as he was watching their love play, he was, some sanskaras, which were still in his heart, were awakened, and he became agitated. He remembered his own yet unfulfilled desires in this regard and became highly agitated, so much so that he had to stop his yoga practice. Yoga practice means to calm down the waves of desire in the mind. And he was now desiring the same in the same activity as he was seeing before his eyes. So he had to dive up from underneath the water and set about to satisfy his unfulfilled desires. He became married to not one woman, but to 50 women. That is quite an amazing amount of... he was trying to fulfill his desires in a cultured Vedic way. But at the end of his long life, dedicated to the pleasures which are available in with 50 women, after a long life, he held an Ishtagosti and said, "My dear wives, let us sincerely ask ourselves the questions. Have our desires been quenched? Are we satisfied?" And they were all unanimously convinced that the desires in their heart had not been satisfied. We know why from the Bhagavatam, that as you set about to quench material desires, the desires are becoming stronger and stronger. Just like if you would try to put out a fire with benzene or gasoline, and the gasoline would increase the roaring of the fire. So, Vari Muni said, "My dear wives, I'm very sorry. It had been my duty to educate you in how to set about in satisfying our lives. We must satisfy the transcendental senses of Lord Hrishikesh." And he preached to his wives, who were extremely receptive, because they had made the experience of not being satisfied. So they somehow, as we say in German, they got the curve. Came to the spiritual life of bhakti actually at the end of their lives. Yes. There are also many sad stories in our own immediate experience. Maybe we have seen swamis who, in the best intentions, try to walk the path of celibacy, but because they had desires, these desires were so strong that they manifested in the most sad way, in the most harmful ways of sexual expression. We don't want to enter now the sadness which exists in the hearts of our Gurukulis who had encountered such devotees who tried, maybe in their best interest, maybe not always, but they were certainly very well intentioned. Maybe your own life is such a story, where you tried with great endeavor and with great sincerity in your mind to transform the heart from the concept of enjoying, which manifests through sensual enjoyment. And you wanted to be a good renouncer, but somehow, as you look into your heart, you find that still there are so many material desires who look for expression and who haunt you in some ways. There's a poem which says, "The ghost which I wanted to get rid of has haunted me." Or Nietzsche, another philosopher, says, "Everywhere where I go, a dog is following me, the dog of ego." Yes. Many have expressed that, oh yes, we would like to be more pure, but the transformation of the heart has not come about. So, Hare Krishna. Now, all of us are feeling very sad. where is this class going? Is the lecturer telling us our movement is impossible? Is he telling us that we should abandon the process of Krishna consciousness because we are anyways not able to change metal into gold? Has he been successful to solidly discourage us? My dear devotees, I wanted to first of all, in the first part of the lecture, before entering into a second part, tell you this is a very serious subject matter, the transformation of the heart. It is something where we need to apply our, we need to really understand, first of all, what it is, and then we need to really question ourselves, how will it be possible, and how will it be possible in my life? It is possible, but not by our own strengths. Lord Krishna has given his mercy, his powerful mercy, by which everything is possible, into very powerful processes of devotional service, which we will hear about in a little while. By Lord Krishna's mercy, mukam karoti vachalam, and which comes through our spiritual master, and which is available in different ways, which I will talk about in a few minutes. By Lord Krishna's mercy, we hear, even a layman can cross mountains. A blind man is able to see the stars in the planetary systems. And what else? A layman can cross mountains. Yeah, I think we had it. And yet, and a fool can become an eloquent speaker. By mercy of God, the transformation is possible. By our own endeavors, we can maybe widen a little bit our circle of karma, which in our own conditioning, we can say. But ultimately, you require a very strong energy. One of my friends from my previous life means when I was not in Krishna consciousness, is working in Geneva by accelerating the CERN Kraftwerk. I can't really say it in English. It's a thing where they atom smasher. Yeah, how do we go? Particle accelerator. As I understood, it's a tunnel which is in a circular, it's like a circle, tunnel circle, and they accelerate the particles and then let them collide, and then the way they disintegrate tells them many things about the nature of matter. It's a huge thing, and Vidyananda knew the folklore word for this. It's called the atom smasher. Yes, this is a folklore word. Yes, and he told me how they really have to accelerate the particles in order to enter their secrets, because when they smash, they fall apart. I mean, this a little bit tells you the way modern science, what they have in mind. So when we want to go and break our conditionings, we need a lot of force. Break on through to the other side is not so easy as one, the musical singer wanted to say, they're very difficult. Your own endeavor is too weak. The force of the Lord the mercy of the Lord is necessary. In Sanskrit, we say Kripa Shakti. This Kripa Shakti of the Lord is hidden in the powerful processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, and so on and so forth. You can actually, to make it more simple, you can actually contact this divine energy, this divine potency, when you chant, for instance, the holy name. Or if you hear about Lord Krishna with an open heart, which is not captured in the loop of boredom. But if you really listen to Lord Krishna's katha, you can actually affect a change of heart. I think we all know this. When we chant Hare Krishna, and all of a sudden we come out of this mental chanting where we really only hear our mind and remain on the mental platform, but where we really, Hare Krishna, the sound seems to pierce through us, and how we feel enlivened and go like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, oh yes, this is what I wanted, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, don't let me get on the mental platform now, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, and you go and feel some wonderful strengths moving you. I think we all have felt this, and on the strength of this we came to Krishna consciousness. We felt, wow, a new chapter opened in our life. The divine energy of the Lord, it's also called Bhakti Shakti, were successful in contacting them. In Srila Prabhupada's times, we old timers, we remember how in Srila Prabhupada's presence, this spiritual atmosphere of Krishna consciousness was all around us. And when Prabhupada said to us, impossible is a word in the fool's dictionary, our heads nodded in agreement. We had actually seen that. We had a person who was not learned and academically safe. He was preaching in the university. We developed communities, not on the strength of money, but on the strength of enthusiasm, which also generated some money. we all felt very much enlivened by this divine energy, and we had no possibility to find out what really affected the change from our status A, where we started, in status B, where we now were active on. This is all the divine energy of the Lord, which can make the change. I would now like to suggest to you a simple step-by-step process, you know, only 5 steps. Actually, to make it simple, I will only say 4 steps from our Shastra, where you can, with which you can experiment in your life, so that you can also contact this divine energy of the Lord, which makes everything possible. The first step is to do Shravana, to hear, to receive the spiritual energy through the ear. This is also the easiest step. What it means is that every day we should chant our rounds, whatever amount you chant, with full concentration. Not with unconcentration, but with full concentration. Then you should listen to spiritual informations from the Shastra, so that you are not condemned to listen your whole day the brabble of your mind. Brabble or brabble? Babble. Yeah. Do you know that each ordinary person thinks 32,000 thoughts a day? 32,000 thoughts a day. And do you know that most of them are only repetitive? I want this, I want this, I want this. It's always the same. How did he mean it? How did he mean it? How did he mean it when he looked at me? Always the same. I'm unhappy, I'm unhappy, I'm unhappy. Always the same. 32,000 thoughts a day. Made maybe cooked down into 10 thoughts. It is very, 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 very unfortunate. So we therefore want to read something else from the spiritual platform. And this is obviously found in a scripture where you encounter a whole different type of logic, a whole different wavelength, so to say. Then not alpha or not beta, not data things, you know, the very unusual. Krishna is the supreme personality of God. This is out of the range of thought, of speculation of the ordinary person. If you hear it from his realized source, if you hear it from Srila Prabhupada, you have actually the possibility to quickly and happily run out of the torturous cinema of your mind, which has this old movie, autobiographical movie in bad taste from morning till evening. Hare Krishna. For the psychologically interested audience and the radio, I want to say that I do not want to discourage creative thinking. I want to encourage it by taking an impetus from that spiritual platform and then begin to use this impetus to change your thought patterns and enliven our thought in a transcendent way so that we are very spiritually awake and interested in life and so on. So, Shravana, hearing, refers to, in our tradition, to mantra chanting, which has an important effect on freeing your mind, and then hearing from the scripture. And then comes Varana. Varana means acceptance. If you hear and hear and hear and you do not accept anything, that is not creative. You should try to accept each day something spiritual in your life which moves you. Varana on the first level, I'm talking now from our scripture, means to accept knowledge or which you can accept and which... Then Varana means to, on a higher, than to accept initiation, which will open your facilities to act on the spiritual platform in an enlivened way. And Varana ultimately means to accept your spiritual body, which will be revealed to us by Lord Krishna's mercy at a higher stage. Then comes, Shravana, Varana, and then Nididhyasan. Nididhyasan means it is good to apply some teachings. For instance, you could go out of this class, say, okay, so what was it about? Oh, so many subjects. I wish I... Transformation of the heart. What was the main point here? How is it possible? Not by my own mercy, but by Krishna's mercy. It is possible. How do I contact this? Well, he said I should listen in the scriptures. It should listen the holy name. Mm-hmm. How do I apply this now? Yeah. All right, I chant, but did he say something about chanting? Yeah, with concentration, he said. Let us try, just as an experiment, to chant with concentration. This will be a major change in my life, but it's a welcome change. It's traditional. And so then we chant with concentration. We apply it. Apply can also mean to tell someone about what you have heard. In other words, to become a preacher. Or because as you speak something which you have read or heard, it leaves a deep impression. So Shravana, Varana, sometimes it's also said Manaha. Manaha means reflecting about what you heard. And Nididhasan, practical application, will take care that the subject matter soaks you and begins to work on you. But if you wish to apply a change in heart, these three steps are not sufficient. Yes, we can hear. Yes, we can reflect about it and accept things. Yes, we can apply the knowledge. Certainly this is good. But we ultimately will have to pray for the mercy of Lord Krishna. Pray to the mercy, for the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. By that openness, to open ourselves up for the mercy, the transformation of the heart is ultimately possible. I want to come to the end now. We have such beautiful deities here, such a very, very nice praying facility. This temple is very, very nice. The Lord has come in this wonderful community as the center. Let us go to Him. Pray, my dear Lord. I also want to transform my heart. After all, this was my original intention. I can see that when my heart is transformed, I'm much happier. Please help in this way. By your potency, it is possible. I have tried so many things on my own. There's a prayer. But my mind is not under my control. Please sit in my heart and help me in this this project of transformation of the heart. Hare Krishna, I wish you very all the best in your own change of heart. We know it is not easy, but devotees of the Lord are very dear to the Lord by their sincere endeavors in devotional service, and certainly you will get them. Certainly it is possible. It always has been possible through the ages. This knowledge is revealed to us. There are sincere sadhakas who are practicing it. It will certainly be possible in each of our lives when we pray. So, Hare Krishna, this is the end of the class. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Sisi Radha Shyam Sundar ki jai. Hare Krishna. What should we do now? Hare Krishna. Thank you, thank you. It's not easy to... I think you can understand this is a subject which... it's an intense subject, but a very beautiful subject. Should we now maybe end, or do we... Yeah? Okay, so we will have questions, but those of you who have a busy day, this is a good time to leave. Any questions, please? Yes, Prabhu. Your good name? Bhuta Bhavana Prabhu, yes.
Mangala Thakur, if he was on the Bhava platform and he didn't complete in that particular life, come to the perfection of state.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dhruka, who was finding Krishna, he was feeling these symptoms of ecstasy,
mm-hmm.
but yet he thought them as a distraction from his service,
mm-hmm.
Indicative of his love for Krishna. So is that exactly what he's saying in the verse, that at that point, that even up to the point of ecstasy, sometimes we're thinking, oh, yes, I want to be ecstatic. But that is not enough. That is not the goal.
Our Buddha Bhavana Prabhu poses the following question. It seems that even the state of ecstasy is not enough to affect the transformation of the heart. Is this what the verse says? And he remembers Bilva Mangala Thakur. He says he reached in his previous life a state of ecstasy, but he left that state again in his next life. He was born as a with sensual interest. Then he offers another thought about Daruka, who even said ecstasy is not wanted in his life, because at least not when he was fanning, because as he was fanning, the ecstasy was interfering with his service. Sometimes devotees say they want to be ecstatic, but is this the goal? Srila Prabhupada addresses this interesting point in a little bit down the purport. I didn't read it, though, because the purport is lengthy, and being an old-time lecturer, we know that we lose our audience sometimes when it's very lengthy. But I will, I hope I can give the right, refers to your question. Prabhupada says here, the bhava stage, this is the stage of ecstasy, is manifested by 8 transcendental symptoms. And he names them inertness, perspiration, standing of hairs on the end, failing in the voice, and so on and so forth, bodily transformations. A little bit more down to the purport, where he discusses imitators who imitate these symptoms. He talks of the Prakriti Sahajiyas who faint and roll on the ground and do so on. He talks of the internal symptoms of ecstasy. And I think these internal symptoms of ecstasy will answer your question, because they really refer to a change of heart. Anyone can cry with a little I think it's glycerin which you put in the eyes, and rub in your eyes first, and that, then you make some sound and then the water comes. But here comes the real thing, which you cannot imitate unless you have changed your heart. Then you don't imitate them, but you display them. Real steady bhava is definitely displayed in the matter of cessation of material desires, kshanti, utilization of every moment in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, avyata kalatvam, eagerness for glorifying the Lord constantly, nama gane sadaruchi, attraction for living in the land of Lord of the Lord, like Vrindavan. I think our Bhadra Prabhu has already some internal signs of ecstasy manifesting, because he goes always on Braj Mandal Parikram and organizes complete detachment from material happiness, virakti, and pridelessness, mana shunyata. It's interesting, there's vairagya. Vairagya means the conscious act to renounce something. But virakti is something else. It's a state, an internal state of saying, no, thank you. You are renounced in the heart. The transformation of the heart has taken place, and that's indicative of bhava. So to answer your question, when there is a manifestation of real bhava, there is certainly change of heart, which is there. In a way, I would like to direct you to a different translation of this text by Srila Prabhupada. The translation, there is a different translation which makes clear when there is ecstasy, then the heart is transformed. I will find this quotation and give it to you tomorrow. Yes, Jayadvaita Maharaj. The verse is not close to? Yes, you have said, I didn't want to say it, but yes, it is not properly. Yes. Yeah.
What it says is that it's really bad news when you're chanting the holy name, but ecstasy doesn't take place,
yes.
Transformations don't take place,
yeah.
That's probably what the other
translation says, yes, from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, yes. Jayadvaita Maharaj, it's nice to have a radio audience when it really feels exciting, like giving a radio interview to give such a class, and you don't know who's there. So I can look a little bit around in the physically manifested audience in the temple room, and when I'm saying something, when someone runs out of the room, then I can think, maybe I should monitor my speech a little bit more carefully, but here I don't know. I hope I have not said anything wrong. Maharaj says, Jayadvaita Maharaj says, that we get an understanding from the verse, as it is edited, that there is ecstasy, but still there is no change in heart. But a better edited verse, which is the verse which I was referring to in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, says, when ecstasy, when you chant, ecstasy should take place. If it doesn't take place, it must be due to offenses. And when there is ecstasy in the heart, then it describes these symptoms, tears and so on. I think our movement should become an ecstatic movement. This is always what I think. Sometimes it brought me in troubled waters. I really think, yes, why not cry in ecstasy? But obviously, this it should not be imitative. It should be because we are free from offenses and feel great, the beginning of Krishna spiritual experiences, which are very transformative. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You were saying early on about the transformation process and how it's easy to change our outward appearance by wearing dhoti kila.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Common village, you know, really, and one can easily, I know myself, I've fallen victim to the idea that, oh, my success in spiritual life is dependent upon what I do externally,
mm-hmm.
to look like a devotee, to make other people devotees, to spread this movement,
mm-hmm.
maybe I should go open a preaching center, even if I'm not strong in my own sadhana or something, I feel like, well, if I do that, then maybe that'll give me the encouragement or something.
Wonderful.
Should we focus more on that
transformation of the heart or on?
Yes.
Yeah. What is your good name?
Marikanda Prabhu.
Marikanda Prabhu. ask the following question. Should we more focus on the transformation of the heart? I will summarize the question. Should we do all these things which are more an external, which could be more an external change, a tilak and so on, putting on tilak. His question was much more beautiful than I repeated, by the way. It's both, really. The way Prabhupada talked, instructed us, is both. And also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, I order everyone in the universe, it was very universal, to become Krishna conscious and to make others Krishna conscious. This is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I remember something in answering to your question from Germany. Prabhupada was lecturing in Bad Königstein, and one man in the audience, he was not a devotee, had objected to the chanting and said, this seems to me like self-hypnosis. Prabhupada, I liked his answer so much, and the way he answered, he said, no, it is not self-hypnosis, it is self-purification. Here he indicates that the chanting is a purification, it's a transformation. So, yes, this should be there, but if a devotee thinks, well, now I will just become a Babaji and work on my internal purification, and I will not preach, then this is really not the essence of Prabhupada's teachings. Prabhupada encouraged even young devotees to preach, and he said this would be purifying for them. But he cautioned the devotees to repeat what they have heard and to act as ladies and gentlemen, exemplary. There's so much purification when you preach happening. This is amazing. Satsvarup Maharaj once wrote a very nice line, just saying like, hypothetically, if there is no one who benefits from my preaching, I know that I'm benefiting a lot to hear all this verses from the Gita and so on. Just hypothetically saying. But as preachers who may not have yet affected the purification of their hearts, we need to know where we are, and it's good to be humble, and when we don't know an answer, it doesn't harm to say, I'm sorry, I mean, I don't know everything I'm reading, but I do not know the answer to this question. I can look it up and then tell you later, and so on.
You also mentioned that there might be 5 points, but then you brought it down to 4. Do you want to share the other one?
Yeah, I was thinking of the question is, you mentioned there were 5 points, but you brought it down to 4. What are the others? Well, I must admit to you, I did a little. I thought, well, I should give the devotees something practical in their minds. And very often, if you lecture in an Hare Krishna audience, they have heard so many times certain things, and some of them just put the internal ear closure when they hear it again and again. So I thought, let me tell the same thing in a way which most probably not everyone has heard every day. So then I said the 5 steps, Shravana, Manaha, or Varana also, and Nididhyasana is hearing, reflecting and praying, reflecting and accepting and application. And then I said the 4th is praying. This is from Valadev Vidyabhushana. Now, if we want to contact the Kripa Shakti, It is hiding in the five powerful processes of devotional service, which start also with hearing from the Bhagavatam. This is not the they include hearing from the Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name, reading the Bhagavatam, doing mutiseva, that is the worship of the deity, and residing at a holy place. These are the five powerful processes which have this tremendous ability to change a person's heart, to empower him in spiritual life. These are very, very wonderful processes. They are to be followed on the in the stage of Vaidhi Bhakti and also spontaneous devotional service. They are good in all fields, so to say. And if you practice them nicely and accurately, they have tremendous potency. Hare Krishna. Yes. I saw you first. Yes. Your good name, please. Shraddha. This will be, by the way, yes, you certainly can go, but this will be the last question, because otherwise we get abnormally late. Yes. Shraddha says, I try to fast on all appearance days and Ekadasi days. And how much are these days important to our transformation of the heart? Well, the injunctions for celebrating these days is really to remember Lord Krishna. This is the fasting is meant to facilitate this, and not to facilitate, for instance, another interesting project that is weight control. that is also facilitated on such days. But the main purpose is really to remember Krishna more. And you will find out, if you arrange your Ekadasi like this, you will be able to make very deep experiences in bhakti. When you have this additional vairagya there, this detachment there, and then do an increased amount of devotional activities on this day, you will very quickly advance. This combination is always good. Vairagya, vidya, nitya, bhakti, yoga, these things have been taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vairagya, and also yes, the increased amount of devotional service. They're called Harivasara Ekadasi. Harivasara means the day of Hari. It's the day of the Lord. And it is interesting to note that bhakti doesn't come from vairagya. Vairagya just helps us to come in a state where we can be more focused by turning away from the world. Now, it is said, if you practice vairagya, and this vairagya brings you to think more of the world, then this vairagya is not so helpful, because it is not vairagya on your level. For instance, if I would fast, just as an example, and think the whole day, food, 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 when, oh, when will it come to me? Then I should maybe take some, non-grain food, so that my stomach will not send these disturbing signals, and my mind will be totally exhausted by these signals. So it's good to practice vairagya on one's level, And it really doesn't, a devotee is not a better devotee when, who does more vairagya. Because vairagya, again, is not the is helpful for bhakti, but it does not come from vairagya, doesn't come bhakti. Bhakti comes from the processes of devotional service, like hearing about Krishna, chanting, the things which have Krishna inside. But wonderful that you are so sincere and serious, yes, to do this. Practice vairagya. This is a general advice according to your ability, where you stand. And if someone fasts the whole day, wonderful. It's a very rare soul, but wonderful. Yes. Great souls. Mm-hmm. Good. Sometimes devotees, you know, in the traditional way, they stay all they stay up all night and chant and chant and chant. But again, it shouldn't be done artificial, this stay, that, so that you, when do I get to sleep? I know it once came in fashion in our movement, and I was also doing it, because when you're in Rome, do as the Romans. So when I was with certain devotees, we did this, and it was very nice in the beginning, but sometimes it was also a forced practice where the staying up all night, and where really there was the type of conversations was really not highly empowered devotional talk, but about cars and so on. Yes. Okay, so let us end here. Thank you very much for your attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Goni Tai ki jai. Hare Krishna.